From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the March 16 edition of Commodity Week. Corn planters are rolling in the South and in parts of the Midwest. Still, Chicago rallies. We'll try to find out why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Dale Durkles from AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois, Ellen Dearden from AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, and from right here in Champaign County and the Anderson's Grain Elevator, Greg Johnson. On the phone line later in the half hour, we'll talk with Mark Deitch of the LaSalle Group in Chicago. Well, let's open our discussion with this question. Which was the most important fundamental thing that happened this week, that planters began to roll in parts of Illinois, the Midwest, and the South, or that China was rumored to be in the marketplace for a purchase? Dale Durkles.
We'll take an old realtor stab at this. China. that really, hands down, was the most important thing this week, and the trade is wholly focused on demand issues right now, whether it's soybeans or whether it's corn, and I think that's really the big ingredient.
Craig?
I agree. I don't think anyone has any questions that we're not going to get the corn planted. You know, we're talking a month ahead of normal at this point. So we've got plenty of time to get the crop planted. The question is not how we start, but how we finish.
And Ellen?
The situation in China is certainly the most interesting. And when you've got the Dalian Exchange posting a corn price that's nearly at $10 a bushel, that's noteworthy.
Do we know why China is in such dire needs? They were supposed to have a big crop last fall.
No. Anybody? That's a quick answer for that. You know, you always have to be careful, and I think this is lost on people somewhat when you deal with a country like China. And I remember going back in the days of Russia, and Ellen probably does as well. You always have to be careful about listening or believing what you are being told, because sometimes there are motives behind those things that can be a part of the mix as well. And you find it interesting right now that China's out here. They bought beans in a big way over the last couple of weeks. We've been buying corn over the last couple of weeks. Guess what? It's right ahead of planting time, both here and in China, you know, and you got to be a little cautious. Are they saying things right now that they're doing to influence the market to a certain degree and doing things as well?
Yeah, the government has depleted a lot of their government reserves. Now, maybe they can wait until fall to replenish those reserves, but a lot of the private feed mills can't, and that may be, you know, where the rumors of the demand are coming from right now. And then just this week, we heard about some possible quality concerns with the domestic Chinese crop, so they may need some number two yellow corn to help offset some of their quality problems as well.
You know, we complain an awful lot about USDA not giving us true figures on stocks within the United States, but look at China. It's got a lot of producers that have half an acre, a quarter of an acre, or whatever, and have sacks of corn hidden under their beds or wherever. So trying to keep track of where that is, and these feed mills are trying to shake loose some of those types of grain. I would sure agree with Greg's comment that the national stocks can wait till we have this dollar discount for the new crop, till we get into some new crop situations.
May corn this week in Chicago had a high of $6.73¾. It's low at $6.41¾. The rally, 28 cents Friday to Friday at $6.73 for the May contract. December futures, $5.74¼. Finished 11¾ higher. most producers, I suppose, are thinking $7 for cash corn in the old crop, and they'd like to see $6 maybe for new crop. Is that a possibility?
Yes and no. Yes on the old crop and no on the new crop. We won't have $6 corn for new crop unless we have weather problems, and I hope we don't have that.
I'd agree with what Greg had to say. You know, and the issue, especially with the new crop, is, and just like we had this week, a survey out of Allendale, it was over 95 million acres getting off the mark at this point with planting, and the spring is forecast by people looks like it's going to be good. And whenever you have a nice open spring, you certainly have that opportunity to plant a lot of corn acres.
Well, the opportunity to plant a lot of corn acres, Ellen, but on the flip side, you hear many analysts talk about the wheat market being able to pull corn higher. It seems like a week and a half ago we were talking about wheat pushing it down lower, and I'm not sure that I understand the two of them. They're related, I know, but where is it that you get where and how can you get an analyst that is feeling friendly to the new crop corn?
Right now, they're pretty few and far between. I think the only people that I know of that are bullish this new crop corn is the producers who haven't sold any. And they're just hopeful that we'll get back to $6, $6.20, $6.25, something along that line. I think most folks that are looking for more than 94 million planted acres and maybe as high as Allendale's number today or yesterday at 95.5 million, you know, there's very few people looking for much upside pop there. And as far as wheat leading the corn right now, I think corn's all a money game.
Corn is in the leadership role here. Corn is the one that can carry wheat up. But the thing that people have to be a little concerned about as we start gravitating on into spring itself is that if we don't have any big issues with the wheat crop around the world and the size of world wheat crop we could have again this year, wheat could be that drag to take the corn market down, old crop corn included. I've looked at some things. I know other people have a few of them. If we have a good hard red winter wheat crop this year, we could feed 7,500 million bushel in the southern plains more than normal. And right now, I know in some spots in the southern plains, new crop wheat is already priced below old crop corn, and I know some wheat that's already been sold into the feedlots.
Talk to me a bit about stocks on hand for corn on the global marketplace. They stand right at a couple of months, a little less than that, I think maybe 52 or 3 days. Is that enough? There are, when you hear those who are feeling friendly to the corn market, they often will point to global corn stocks and say it's not big enough.
But the issue is that you have huge stocks of wheat in the world that's available out there, and people that are in the feed grain sector itself that actively use grain for feed understand that wheat, especially if I'm going into the cattle market, wheat is as good a feed as it is as corn is, and actually a little better because it's got a higher protein and it's actually worth a little bit more in terms of nutrient value. But right now you can buy wheat at a discount to corn still a lot of places around the world. So when you have this huge supply of wheat out in the world, and it's in the world that we have the supply of wheat, old crop right now, wheat is the drag.
Ellen, give me a fundamental list of things that happened in the marketplace that were important for you. We talked about two of them already for the week.
China would be the number one thing. I think the way that the spreads went off the board, or the way that the March
contracts expired,
grains expired, I thought was huge. That shows me that we do have tight stocks, at least somewhere nearby. The near-term stocks are tight. I thought that was extremely important. I guess we continue to see these ethanol margins not looking very good. That, to me, is going to be kind of a drag here on the corn market.
One other item I think that has had some discussion, and I saw on the wire services a couple of places, and this was mostly out of Iowa, but the idea that farmers there were holding more stocks maybe than many had thought. I don't know how much credence you could put into that or whether we can even figure it out for sure.
Well, historically, the Western Corn Belt, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, are where they put most of the corn under loan. That's just the way they've always marketed grain. They market basically from behind, whereas in the East, where we've typically had less storage, we market ahead. So, yes, there is corn in the West, but if you're in the Eastern Corn Belt, you're going to have basis levels high enough versus the West to get that corn to move from West to East. And there's no guarantee that there really is that much corn in the West. But if there is, that's where it would be, is in those Western states.
Were you impressed by the technical action at all this week?
A little bit, but not greatly. You know, when you look at the corn market right now, we're kind of at an interesting critical point here, in that when you look at the broad pattern going all the way back into the break we had in September, you can still look at this game and easily build the argument that all we've been doing has been working within a very big, broad sideways correction, and we're up at the top side of that at this point. Now, when you look at the nearby futures chart, there is a gap we left in the break last September at 682, 685. Got some fractions on that. That's also, when you look at the May contract, the high we had in November on the May contract was at 683. So it's going to be interesting to see how we deal with that this coming week.
We have some other counts up around 690, and I think there's a gap on the May chart at around 703 as well. And I think some of these technical guys will be talking about that. The other thing, I thought it was kind of interesting, today, Friday, was 144 days from the late August highs.
Okay, so, you know, we come to this sometimes where we have a group of analysts, and I know Zwicker and Daryl. Daryl's friendly. I would never call Daryl bullish, but
no,
friendly. Daryl Good. And then who talk about this marketplace being bullish to friendly the new crop corn, despite the fact that there's a 94 million or 95 million bushel or 95 million acre corn crop potentially out there. And maybe despite the fact that there's 164, Daryl thinks 159 is a starting place rather than 164.
Oh, the yield? Yeah, I'd concur with that.
And producers, I know, are feeling awfully bullish the marketplace, in large part because of old crop, and maybe rightfully so at this point. But should they roll that into the new crop and feel as comfortable with the new crop when we have prices that are fairly high still?
I would say farmers aren't bullish new crop. They're not selling because, you know, they don't like the price. But if you would get corn to $6, I think a lot of farmers would sell new crop corn at $6. So, you know, they are bullish old crop corn. I mean, you know, when you ask them how high is up, you know, who knows if China comes in and buys corn, if this government stocks report on March 30th, you know, can't find those extra 200 million bushels. There's a lot of potentially friendly things in the old crop. But new crop, I don't think farmers are bullish. I mean, other than a weather problem, you know, farmers aren't selling. But other than a weather problem, I'm not sure what would get corn much up above $6.
It's okay to differentiate between the old and the new. I mean, that's the right way to deal with the marketplace, right?
To a certain degree, I think it is. You know, and again, I go back. I think the one thing people got to be careful about is the new crop wheat, because that can have an impact in extending what people feel is going to be a very tight supply of old crop corn. We don't know that yet. But if we feed an extra 100 million bushel in the southern plains, that comes in the summer at the end of the old crop corn. And then the other thing we've got to deal with old crop corn is the rapid planting in the south and the planting we already have going on in the southern corn belt. So you're basically starting to bring in supplies at the tail end of the old crop year.
Okay, I want each of you to talk to me about this one. Historically, when you think about crop years that, and there aren't many like this one, but crop years where you have an early corn planting, and it doesn't really matter whether you're short or not too much, how quickly does it break? When does that break come in new crop prices? Is it a June break, a July break? When do we break it off?
That's really hard to say, because this time compared to a lot of other times too, you've got this perception and maybe reality that your old crop corn is really tight. And so, you know, that kind of also has an impact on the performance of your new crop futures at this particular moment. Yeah, the spreads will widen out, but still, that's a carrying influence as long as your bull market stays within the old crop contracts.
I'd just like to suggest, and I really don't have the figures here to prove this, but I would like to suggest that we would typically put a top in between, say, Memorial Day and Father's Day in that early June time period, rather than extending that seasonal kind of high for the new crop into mid-July.
Yeah, I think, too, that it depends on this March 30 stocks report. If that report is friendly, then we can hang on to the old crop inverse for a little bit longer.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. Normally we use the term heat wave in July or August in Illinois, but this week we had an honest-to-goodness heat wave in March. Record-breaking temperatures in the upper 70s and 80s were common across the state. Many locations such as Champaign-Urbana saw their earliest 80-degree day on record. The statewide average temperature for the week was 53.3 degrees, that's 13.9 degrees above normal. The statewide average precipitation for the week was 0.3 inches, that's about half of normal. Amounts in southern Illinois were heavier. The warm, dry weather caused soil temperatures to rise rapidly. Bare soil temperatures at 4 inches range from the upper 40s in northern Illinois to the mid-50s in central Illinois, and to the upper 50s in southern Illinois. That's about 10 degrees warmer than last week. Temperatures are expected to be 20 to 25 degrees above normal, with highs in the 70s and 80s and lows in the 50s and 60s through the weekend and into early next week. There's a 40 to 50% chance of rain on Saturday and Saturday night. Otherwise, the next major change in weather, especially precipitation, will be next Thursday or Friday as a strong cold front pushes through the state with heavy rain ahead of it. The new National Weather Service outlook for April shows an increased chance of above normal temperatures across the state and an increased chance of above normal precipitation across the eastern two-thirds of the state. I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the March 16 edition of Commodity Week. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in studio with us today. Greg Johnson of the Andersonsdale Dirkles from AgriVisor and Ellen Dearden of AgriView on the phone line. Mark Deitch, he's with the LaSalle Group in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, thanks for taking the time with us. I must tell you that this is maybe one of the tougher Commodity Weeks that I have done over couple of decades, simply because I know analysts that are feeling really pretty friendly to the corn market, even the new crop, and those who are really bearish to the corn market. Can you shed any light on your position?
Sure. It is very confusing right now because we've really got some extremes going on right now, and as you guys all talked about earlier, China is kind of the wild card. You've got corn in southern China in the consumption areas at $10.50 a bushel. So it pencils on paper, even with the ocean freight and the import taxes, for them to import our corn. So that they could be there for a considerable amount of corn, not just the government buyers, but also the privates. They do have some quotas that they need to work around, but their cash markets are telling us that they've got a problem and that their crop was probably quite a bit smaller than what the government told us. At the same time, on the other hand, as you've talked, we're looking at some pretty significantly high corn acres, and it looks like pretty good weather to get that stuff going in. So the That's the other side of the coin. And as far as new crop corn, you've got a very dynamic soybean market that I think is really has some considerable upside potential. That's going to be a bullish help to the corn market potentially. And you've got the old crop corn market. Then on the other side, you've got the wheat market that's a drag. We're looking at record world wheat stocks. So it really is, there's a lot of wild cards out there, and determining where we're going to go from here is really kind of difficult. I've got my own biases, but nobody knows for sure.
And your bias is friendly?
Well, I am I'm very friendly to the soybean market because of we've lost about 20 million tons out of the South American production. It looks to me like we need 78 to 80 million acres of beans just to avoid a rationing type of situation. So the simple fact that I think that the soybean market is probably headed to $14 in the November, that makes me a little bit cautious about being bearish the corn market, even in the new crop.
You know, you speak of this, you know, and I understand where you're coming at fundamentally. The big longs in the bean market right now are the big hedge funds, trading funds, whatever they choose to call themselves today. I noticed the CFTC report this afternoon that futures and options, they were long like 880 million bushel. How much more money out of these trading funds do you think can come into this mix?
Well, I think that the funds have bought it for various reasons, but a lot of the funds that I know have bought it because of the fundamental story. I think that things are changing, and there's a lot more fundamentally driven funds now. So that tells me that we could still see more money flow in there. And to me, the even more intriguing is that as we've rallied $2 a bushel, the cash markets both in the U.S. and in South America have stayed very firm.
Mark, I can see the bean meal side of things looks pretty darn friendly, but how about the bean oil side? Looks like a lot of veg oils available.
Yes, and we agree. In our group, we've been thinking that oil share is going to suffer, and there are plenty of veg oils in the world. You will get some arguments that maybe over the next 6 to 12 months those will be drawn down again, but right now, it's certainly ample.
Hey, Mark, most people think that we're trying to get an extra million acres of beans to go from 75 to 76 million. If we need 78 million, we need to go higher than $14, don't we? I mean, if we would have rallied back in November, December, maybe farmers would have made their planning decisions differently. But it feels to me like farmers have made their decisions already in November and December when corn was much more attractive than beans, and this rally now is almost too little too late. Or how do you see that?
I totally agree. I agree 100%. I think that we had this discussion amongst our group this morning. The question was, well, it seems like Brazil, now people are talking about Brazil potentially being 65, 66 million tons. If that's the case, I think we need 78 to 80 million soybean acres. So the question I asked, and we asked among various producers, et cetera, is how do we get 78 to 80 million acres? And the answer was we don't. Especially with this warm weather, a lot of decisions have been made. And I guess what I could see is that we go to $14 before the report, and if that report doesn't show adequate acreage, which I don't think it will, then I think that we could even have further upside.
How much?
Well, so then you start to talk about what level begins to ration soybeans, what level begins to pull soybean stocks out of the Chinese government reserves, and I think at $14.50 you start to do that, but I don't think you completely do that. And just in the back of my mind, looking at the fundamentals, I think there's a real chance to go to $15.
What are the pitfalls on the way? I mean, what would cause that not to happen?
Well, certainly of extreme importance is the South American production. Their cash markets have been very firm, and that kind of indicates to us that the crop is smaller than everybody has been anticipating. Privates keep bringing their estimates down, but if that ends up being bigger, then that's going to be an issue. If the March 30th stocks report shows soybean stocks larger than expected, that would be a pitfall as well.
Step back into one other mix. It's something I looked at back in December, January, when you look at a long-term historical relationships. Corn back then, and even to a degree yet today, is expensive relative to wheat and to soybeans.
Yes.
How do we build a real bull argument in corn?
I think when you're talking new crop corn, it's going to be very difficult. I guess my only question is, if November soybeans go to $14 before the report, is corn just going to sit still? And there is one fundamental wild card that I need to throw out there too on the corn, and that's China. And if China's paying $10.50 for corn in southern China today, who's to say that they won't be there again next year? And if they are, they have a margin with U.S. prices at current prices. They've got a huge margin against our new crop prices. I don't necessarily think that that's the case, and they would have to buy a lot of tonnage to make up for all this additional acreage. But it's something to keep in mind.
Hey, do you think that China's demand for corn is driven by supply? Are they really short, or are they just really using it quickly?
I think the answer to that question is nobody knows for sure. But I've made a lot of trips to China throughout my career, and I will say that the market has continuously for the last 10 to 12 years underestimated Chinese demand. And I think the growth in feeding is probably quite a bit better than people anticipated. But I also think that the crop from last year has been overstated by their government.
But it was overstated by their government and our Grains Council, for that matter.
Right. So that's why, I mean, it's really hard to determine. But if you talk to people that have been on the ground over there, I can't find a single person who thinks the crop was 190.
Hey, Mark, what impact would higher oil prices, you know, $140, $150 a barrel, $5 to $6 gasoline, what impact would that have on ethanol prices and consequently corn prices?
I think that would be very, very friendly. One of the things holding corn back a little bit, and you mentioned it earlier, was that ethanol is stacking up a little bit. But ethanol right now is very cheap on gasoline, and it's encouraging maximum blend. And if we run gasoline prices higher, we're going to continue to encourage that, and it should support ethanol prices, which in turn should support corn prices.
Do you have any final word of advice for producers in the Midwest raising corn, soybeans, wheat?
Well, the only advice I'd give is maybe give a little bit of consideration to an extra field of soybeans. I think we're going to have some pretty good prices out there.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark Deitch is with the LaSalle Group in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this March 16 edition of Commodity Week. Time for a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Dale Durkles.
Hey, the planters are rolling. Everybody be a little careful out there. It's easy to forget that.
Greg Johnson.
I think new crop corn is susceptible to some pressure over the next month or two. We don't usually kill the crop in April or May, but June and July is a different story.
Ellen Dearden.
We have 2 weeks till this March 30th reports, and we could see some fireworks going into that.
And that wraps up this March 16th edition of Commodity Week. Thank you so much to our panelists in studio, including Ellen Dearden, who you just heard from AgriVisor. She's out of Morton, Illinois. Dale Durkles of Ellen Dearden's with AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. Dale Durkles is with AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Greg Johnson from the Andersons. From right here in Champaign County, you can always find us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report each and every business day of the year. And of course, this program, Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.